I can say, as someone who's watched a lot of the Women's World Cup, like I watched a bunch of group play, not just Team USA. I watched a lot of this tournament. That was by far the best game of this tournament. And it should be. It's the number one and two teams in the world going head-to-head.
Oh, but they're big underdogs, according to Tyler yesterday.
No, they were never big underdogs. They were underdogs in that game. They were the German team was the favorite in that game. But it's the number one and two team in the world, right? And if those two teams can't put on an enjoyable soccer game for this women's tournament, then they don't have that kind of game in them in this tournament, right? I mean, these are the two best in the world going head-to-head, and it was the best game that has been played in this tournament thus far. Both teams were competent soccer teams. It was a lot of fun to watch if you're a fan of soccer, and watching Team USA come out on top made it that much more fun.
Well, that's the only thing that makes it fun is when Team USA comes out on top. Don't tell me it would have been fun if Germany would have won that game 2-1 yesterday. I will not accept that, sir. But, no, I watch it. I've enjoyed it. I'll have to take your word for it that it was the best game of the tournament because I'm not exactly watching any of these other matches.
Right.
Let's put it that way, including Japan-England. Who won that one?
They play tonight.
Oh, do they play? See, there you go.
Yeah.
I would have assumed they played on the same day.
No, they haven't played yet.
Not the case.
The final is Sunday.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so everyone has
extra
some time
day rest
to get ready. Yeah.
Extra day of rest for the good old USA. I did read a story yesterday on Deadspin, I think it was Deadspin, who about how the German coach didn't really like the USA, thought they were too loud and too celebratory, because everybody apparently is staying in the same hotel. And she's like, it's really not a good situation when the team you're playing, and whether you just beat them or you just lose to them, you're all sharing the same hotel space. It makes for an awkward situation, and apparently the U.S. has been a little boisterous, as we're known to be. Because we're America.
That's what we do.
The greatest country in the world.
We're not gonna tone it down for you, clowns.
Right?
You bunch of losers.
Seriously. Win a world war here or something. I mean, come on. I kid. All right. Today, Tony, I come in today, and I'm greeted with the news that we'll have no power. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about, no power? Do you not realize Jaguars today is holding the torch lit for all Jaguar fandom across the First Coast here in these dwindling days of interest here at EverBank. No one's here today, okay? You got the security guards and apparently some guy over at SMG that wanted to test out the alarm system this morning. So out went the power at 9 o'clock. They told me it would be out till 9:30, and I worried because that's getting a little bit close now to on-air time, but it was done by 9:15. But I'll say this. I now know what it sounds like if there was an imminent fire threat in the building. Because I've heard the recorded message blaring over and over in my ears in a 5-minute interval this morning. So that was interesting to sit here. I was plunged into pitch black in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. Truly could not see anything. And then finally some emergency lighting came up. So hopefully all is well down at our homestead. They're making sure things are safe for when the players get back in. Literally not a car in the players' lot this morning. Truly, not a single one. There might have been a half dozen cars on this side of the stadium this morning. There's somebody working. There's always somebody doing something, but we are grinding away as hard as anybody
right
today. We're going to talk with one of our favorite guys from the last few years when it comes to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Always accessible. A career that was held back by injury, certainly, and now playing for a division rival. Cecil Short still doing some good things in the community. He's got one of those back-to-school backpack deals he's putting together with the United Way, and we're going to tell you about that. We're going to talk about, with Cecil, what it's like to go from the Jags to a hated division rival in the Houston Texans. And, he really has been, Tony, a guy that even when the season ended, was in here working out, didn't know, always wanted to come back, was always, look, the guy worked hard, okay? He had some bad luck or call him fragile, call him whatever you want. His body didn't hold up, allowing him to play 16 games every year. But Cecil Shorts is a hardworking guy, an intelligent guy, very good in meeting rooms, and a guy that's held in high regard here within the walls of this building. So it'll be fun to catch up with him a little bit today. And it dovetails with our question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, which in honor of Cecil Shorts, and you could name him certainly if you want to, but which Jaguar that went on to play for another team were you saddest to see go? Plenty of them over the years went on, and some of them starred for other teams. A guy like Daryl Smith, I don't know if you consider it starring, but playing at an extremely high level, he's been the most recent example of a guy that you might be sad because he still had a lot left in the tank, it appeared. You maybe were sad about some other guys going simply because you couldn't bear to see them in any uniform but the Jacksonville Jaguars. So share your thoughts on that with us today. Of all the Jags who went on to become ex-Jaguars and play for another team in the NFL, who were you saddest to see go? Mm-hmm. And share your thoughts on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler. We're going to get into a fun thing today that NFL.com has got. They've got a bracket challenge out there that we'll tell you about coming up. I'm talking about the best trios from any university playing in the NFL. In other words, a quarterback, running back, pass catcher, can be a tight end, can be a wide receiver. And we'll go through the bracket and see how we think they shape up, as they just posted this today on NFL.com. But one story that was up there yesterday on NFL.com, Tony, they're doing a countdown of players that they think have a chance to break out in 2015. It's the Making the Leap series, and they're counting down all the way up to number one. And the number 14 guy on the list who they posted on there yesterday was Blake Bortles. And I think the gist of the article was primarily positive about his chances of taking a major leap. And I know you talked about this a little bit last night on the Fat Tuesday edition of the Fat Tony Show, but I think interesting that some of the gist of the story was in speaking with some different assistant coaches at the Combine, that there were two schools of thought on Bortles. One, that he was Zach Mettenberger with wheels, meaning he has a big arm, but it just having a big arm isn't enough to get by in the National Football League. He's a big arm and a little bit more mobile than Zach Mettenberger, but not much more there than that.
Yeah, I think they described it as he gets more attention than he should for how big his arm is. Like, it's not a practical in-game thing, I think is how they described it.
They don't often ask you to drop back and throw it as far as you can down the entire field.
Right.
So, and the other camp was, as Connor Orr put it, who is an NFL writer for NFL.com, said the other camp was simply busy hoping the Jags won't put the time and resources into developing Bortles properly, because if they did, watch out. In other words, there's one camp that thinks this guy could be a star if he is nurtured properly, and there's another camp that thinks that ultimately he doesn't deal well with pressure, doesn't handle the pocket very well. He's got a big arm. That's pretty at times, but it doesn't really impact all that many plays in the National Football League, and he's got some running ability. So, in other words, a pretty meager assessment of his abilities. But overall, I came away looking at that, Tony, and it's a good read if you go to NFL.com, the Making the Leap series, that there are a lot of positives, you know, for Blake. And it was nice to see a guy who is a national writer acknowledge that they're putting pieces in place around him. Unlike yesterday, you know, we got a call yesterday, the Jags aren't doing anything to help Blake Bortles because they didn't draft Amari Cooper. That was basically the gist of what I got out of that phone call. And you sit here and you look at the improvements on the offensive line, you look at the addition of Julius Thomas, you look at the addition of what should be a feature running back in your backfield to take some pressure off you. They've certainly done things, never mind the natural maturation you hope comes from some of these young guys, including Blake himself.
Sure.
Moving on to year two.
Yeah, and look, it's a good read. If you haven't checked it out yet, you should. And it's the series is about players that I think are going to step from kind of that no-name status into solid, like they'll be in the NFL periphery going into this year, or guys who are really good players right now that they think are going to step into superstardom. And obviously Bortles, with where he is the former. They're saying that they think he's one of the players in the league this year that can step from kind of anonymity into the spotlight in the National Football League. And he's a quarterback that was selected number 3 overall. So for Jacksonville's sake, he better be stepping into at least that kind of spotlight in 2015. But it is interesting reading about it, because all the problems you felt like you had last year are kind of addressed in this article, talking about the issues that they had along the offensive line, the Luke Jokel storyline going into this offseason, and what he's going to look like going into his third year, their inability to run the ball, the inconsistency from the pass catchers they had in this offense at times last year. I know he did a specific breakdown of that first drive against Baltimore. I remember him talking about that, and they were running the ball effectively. They had a couple good passes in there. They got to that second down and ran a play-action pass that worked, and it got Mercedes Lewis wide open, and Blake Bortles hit Mercedes Lewis, and a lot of fans out there remember Mercedes dropping that particular pass, which leads to a third and long, and now everybody knows what you're doing. And it was just a team that had those kind of things happen to them a lot in 2014. Now, that's of their own doing also, right? Those are mistakes that those guys are making. It's mistakes that the Jaguars players are making that put them in those kind of holes, those kind of predictable situations. It's hoping that this year they've added enough pieces to take some of that off of Blake Bortles a little bit, maybe get that running game going more consistently in 2015 than it ever was in 2014.
It's hoping that on second and eight from midfield this year, when you run the play action, you hit the tight end in the hands, it's Julius Thomas
right
on the receiving end, and he actually catches the ball and then maybe turns it upfield. And they did point out on that particular play, even though Bortles hit Mercedes on the numbers, it was a play that appeared to be designed for him to lead Mercedes Lewis. And you think, well, what's the big deal? Well, it's the difference between possibly making a catch and being tackled on the spot and giving your receiver an opportunity to catch and run with the football in full stride. And those are little things that separate good from really great players at the National Football League, and sometimes bad from good players as well. But the point was, the ball was delivered in a position where Mercedes should have made an easy play on it. Should have been a first down, whether or not they picked up any additional yards. And because a simple unforced error occurred, the Jags were once again facing a third and long situation. So you're right. They did acknowledge that, and they acknowledged how much was actually put on Bortles. When he gets compared to Ben Roethlisberger quite a bit, or at least he has since the draft talk has been ramped up about him in his first year in the league. Good size, good mobility, ability to extend the play, his demeanor, very calm guy in the pocket. Some similarities that you see between these guys, but they talked about how much Roethlisberger was managed during his rookie season. Bortles' fewest attempts in a game in which he started last year was 24. Actually, that came in a game he didn't start. So in any game he played, his fewest attempts was 24. Okay, Roethlisberger's most attempts as a rookie starter in the league was 28. Mm-hmm. So, you could tell right there, Blake Bortles was throwing on a weekly basis way more on a worse team with worse protection,
right,
without the help of a running game, without the help of a stellar defense, and basically being thrown to the wolves.
Yeah, that was a Steelers team that went to the AFC Championship game.
Exactly.
I mean, that's how good that defense and running game was that year. They could protect a guy like Roethlisberger if they had to throw him into
the
game.
Did he go 15-1 that year?
Yeah.
Was that the year he went 15-1?
Yeah, that was the year they just kept winning, kept winning, kept
winning.
That's
a pretty good record.
And kept running the ball, and that defense was as good as it had been in that entire run for the Steelers. In the next couple of years, when Ben Roethlisberger was coming into his own a little bit and that defense kept developing, they're winning Super Bowl championships. And we're not saying this team and this roster is at the level that the Pittsburgh Steelers were in 2004 and 5, right? But they aren't giving Blake enough help yet. You look at the changes they made this offseason, hopefully they've done enough to put them in a better position to.
If you're looking for that article, by the way, it's the Making the Leap series. I found it on the front page of NFL.com, scrolling down on the right-hand side. Lord knows where you're going to find it in 5 minutes on that website. But good luck with that. If you can find it, it's a decent read for you Jaguar fans out there. And also, what's shaping up to be a decent read there is the triplets bracket. Basically, quarterback, running back, pass catcher, which school has produced the best current NFL trio at those key offensive positions. And they've got a bracket with 32 teams in there, 32 colleges represented, and they've seeded them 1 through 8 in 4 different regions. We'll go through the head-to-head matchups and see who we think should emerge victorious in some of these little kind of early July, let's kill a week kind of things that NFL.com is doing, and God bless them for it, ladies and gentlemen. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. If you'd like to be on board the program today, the way to do it, pick up the phone, dial 641-1010. That also works as the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. So send your thoughts that way. You know how to tweet us. Get on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at Everbank while the lights are still on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Could you play next year? Not that you want to?
I think I could. As far as throwing, of course, we're not trying to start some. He's coming out of retirement. But I say all that because it's a good thing to do. I think I could play and lead a team. Look, no, but I could play. I could make all the throws I made before. I just couldn't throw it near as far. That never matters anyway.
Where's Brett Favre there, sitting on the dock? The crickets chirping. What was that in the background?
He's out on the farm, baby.
I did not see the video. But I did read the quotes from Brett Favre, and I'm glad he's the one who tapped that. Hey, let's not start this comeback talk. He goes, I can make all the throws, I just can't throw it as far. But you can't make all the throws, can you? Right? I mean, he said, and that never matters anyway. Well, occasionally, doesn't it matter? Somewhat?
It's got to matter a little.
A little bit. I'm not saying it's that big of a deal. They all think they can play. Tony Herschel Walker, 53, he's laughing at Brett Favre. Brett Favre is like, 10 more years, tell me if you can play. How old's Brett Favre now? Like 46-ish?
45,
45?
I think.
Yeah. Right there in the middle of his 40s. Herschel Walker's just looking at him like, kidding me? Young pup? Of course you can play. If I can play, you can play. Brett, I think what I think he means is, given perfect protection, he could probably stand back there in a 7-on-7 drill or
right.
whatever and make throws. I don't think he thinks he could elude the pass rush or withstand the pounding that he would take inevitably as a 45-year-old journeyman quarterback in the National Football League. But good to know. I don't see any Southern Miss in the bracket challenge here. I don't think they have enough help with Brett Favre. Not that Brett's in the league anymore, but
right.
I don't know who else they would throw into the mix in there to be a contender. It's pretty fun. I love this kind of stuff. NFL.com has taken the best three-player combos at quarterback, running back, and pass catcher, because there's some tight ends or some wide receivers that are listed in here, and they put them in a bracket-style head-to-head to determine which school has the best current triplets combo. I guess the triplets term start with the Dallas Cowboys in the 90s, right, with Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and Michael Irvin. As far as I can remember it.
There might have been some before that, but that's
they always call those guys the triplets.
Yeah, the first I remember.
People talk about trying to duplicate getting their own set of triplets, whatever the case may be. But we'll run through some of these matchups and tell you who we think we would win some of these. I'll say this, in looking through this, I don't know if you've read all of them, Tony.
I have not, no.
Quite a good bit of Jaguar representation on the list, and certainly a number of the area schools. Florida has got an entry. Florida State's got an entry. UCF has an entry. Do I not see Miami on this at all? Does Miami not rank in the top 32 of
what
I guess
they
don't
out there now? Do they even have a quarterback in the league?
Stephen Morris.
Yeah, he's the third here. They don't have much.
I mean,
you have
a guy
now
who's going to play.
Right. I mean, you still got Andre Johnson.
You got Andre Johnson. You got Frank Gore.
Right.
I mean, just those two guys alone. But they don't have a QB, I guess, that could put – what? Couldn't you could argue probably – I bet we could find a trio that just taking Andre Johnson and Frank Gore, and we may be overlooking some guys. I don't think Allen Hurns has eclipsed Andre Johnson at this point in time. But it's possible we could be overlooking somebody from the U that would be better than one of those two guys currently. I don't know if – well, I mean, maybe Duke Johnson turns out to be one of those guys, but I don't think at this point in time you could make that case. But you could almost just throw Stephen Morris in with those two guys and probably make a decent, compared to some of the ones who are in here, a decent showing. Blake Bortles is in here. UCF's a 5 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go through the – they have them in different brackets, different regions. You know, it's all for fun. But they've got the Sugar Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, and the Rose Bowl brackets. And – do you think, because it leads the top of the first bracket, did they angle to have Tim Tebow in the very first spot? I mean, not going to last long if there's any sense in any of these voters
right.
when you look at the matchup that he's got. But are they that pandering to the masses out there that they would have that comment? Let me ask you this. Is Tim Tebow Matt Jones, by the way, who hasn't played a down in the National Football League,
right.
Tim Tebow, Matt Jones, and Percy Harvin, a better trio than Stephen Morris, Frank Gore, and Andre Johnson?
No.
I don't think so.
No, I mean, we've seen
–
Tebow's
played.
He's played in the NFL.
And he's had some success.
So you have that. But
Matt Jones hasn't played at all.
No.
I mean, Frank Gore is clearly better, and I think Andre Johnson is – better than Percy Harvin, even now, because Percy's been so damn inconsistent.
Well, and I mean, you're Andre Johnson. Thinking about it now, you could Travis Benjamin. I guess no. Who am I thinking of?
Philip Dorsett.
Dorsett just got drafted. You got Allen Hurns. It was Jimmy Graham. That's who I'm. Jimmy Graham, Greg Olson. I mean, both those guys are Miami guys.
You could replace. You could go Jimmy Graham, Frank Gore, Stephen Morris, because you got to have a quarterback in the mix.
Right.
You can go any way you want, and I think that's a better trio. But Flores going up against the Cal Bear trio of Aaron Rodgers, Marshawn Lynch.
You told me you found some triplets list, and I was like, is there any better than Cal?
There may not be. They're the first number one seed. They're obviously four number one seeds, but they should win that. And ultimately, maybe the best trio from any school in the National Football League, right? So they'll win that in a walk. The 4-5 matchup, same region, is Utah versus Clemson. Okay, are you looking at it now?
No.
Okay. Do you know who the Utah representatives would be?
Well, Alex Smith.
Alex Smith would be an obvious one. It helps. I mean, if you don't know that Steve Smith went to Utah, you don't know that Steve Smith went to Utah.
No, I did not know
that. I wouldn't have known Steve Smith went to Utah either. And Matt Asiata is the running back there. And their matchup, Clemson, throws in Charlie Whitehurst, so not so strong a quarterback, but C.J. Spiller and Sammy Watkins. I think that's a pretty good – that's a pretty even matchup right there. C.J. Spiller, better than Asiata, but he gets hurt a lot. Steve Smith has had a better career than Sammy Watkins, but I think right now Sammy Watkins is a guy I'd rather take. And Alex Smith is vastly better than Charlie Whitehurst.
Yeah, I give the edge to Utah there.
Probably because of the quarterback – variants. Texas A&M versus West Virginia in the same area here. The 3-6. You've got Ryan Tannehill, okay, Kristen Michael, who was a preseason sensation two years ago.
Mike Evans.
And Mike Evans, right, for Texas A&M, which is not bad. You know, you can have some flaws in all of these. Versus Geno Smith, Charles Sims, and Kevin White, I think Texas A&M wins that pretty easily because most of the West Virginia guys are unproven to this point.
Yep.
Some high hopes for Charles Sims in Tampa. Here we go. Toby Gerhart gets in for Stanford. Stanford's a 2 seed here. Probably more because of Andrew Luck than anything.
Since so. Who are they going up against?
Well, hold on. They got Toby, and they've got Doug Baldwin in there as well for Stanford.
He of the celebration.
Correct. Versus Oregon's Marcus Mariota.
They are truly the number two.
Yes. Jonathan Stewart, Josh Huff. They are truly the number two. Very nice. So Stanford will win that one easily. Next region's the Orange Bowl. You've got an SEC, all SEC, and this is a good one. The number one seeds are strong here. Tennessee still going strong with Peyton Manning, Arian Foster, Jason Witten.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Older, as the entire team is 28 or over, but they have a combined 28 Pro Bowls as well.
You got two pretty surefire Hall of Famers in that group. Jason Witten's probably going to the Hall of Fame when everything is said and done. Peyton Manning certainly is. And Arian Foster is one of the best running backs of
the
last decade.
Right, he's not going to the Hall of Fame, but I think, yeah, I would agree with you. That's pretty formidable, and you could put that up. I'd still rather have the Cal trio of Rodgers, Lynch, and DeSean Jackson. They will eliminate Arkansas in the first round here at Tennessee. Ryan Mallett, Darren McFadden, and Jarius Wright up there. Is he still in Minnesota? I think he's still in Minnesota.
I think he is, yeah.
Tony, it's a blood feud.
If only we could have done this list like 8 years ago and Matt Jones could have been the wide receiver on that list.
And quarterback.
Right.
Could have been both.
He's everything. He's the legend.
He's everything to all of us. Tony, blood feud. You and me right here.
Oh, is it?
Vandy, Florida State. Head-to-head on the 4-5 line.
Hey!
In the Orange Bowl bracket. You've got Jay Cutler, and we don't.
That's what we got.
Right, and we don't. You've got Zach Stacy, and you've got Jordan Matthews, who, you know, nice, young, up-and-coming player.
It's not bad.
Decent rookie year last year. Florida State's got Jameis Winston. Don't know. Devontae Freeman. I guess you'd take him over Stacy at the moment. I mean, he hasn't really accomplished more than Stacy, but he's got a better chance to have significant playing time this year. That doesn't necessarily make him a better player.
Yeah, Stacy's kind of descending.
And Kelvin Benjamin versus Jordan Matthews. I think Kelvin Benjamin probably had a better rookie year. It's probably close to a push, though, on future potential on those guys.
When you look at the role that Kelvin Benjamin had to play in that Carolina offense compared to what Jordan Matthews essentially was being asked to play, which is the second or third role for most of the year, they more eased Matthews into it, but I bet their numbers are comparable. I mean, I bet Kelvin's numbers are a little bit better than what Jordan Matthews had last year, but I think he wound up with around 70 catches and 800 yards and 8 or 9 touchdowns in his rookie year.
It's a close one, but I say Florida State wins because you have to play Jay Cutler and we don't.
I say Vanderbilt wins because we get to play Jay Cutler and you don't.
All right. Well,
he's still a quarterback with a winning record in the National Football League.
And he'll throw me 4 picks.
He will.
In any given
week. He will.
He'll throw me four picks. And you've got Zach Stacy as well. Mike Mayock, in his pre-draft evaluation of Jameis Winston, said, "Now, I don't like all the interceptions he throws. He reminds me a little bit of Jay Cutler."
Yeah, take
coming
that.
Out of Vandy.
Take that, Florida State.
He has no conscience whatsoever. You can read that however you like.
That's right.
He'll let it rip, but he has the physical skill set to play and succeed in the NFL at the highest level. Blah, blah, blah.
So you're going to take the guy who Mike Mayock is reminded of the previous guy. So he's a pale reflection
yes.
of Jay Cutler. That's the guy you're
pale?
Taking.
Who said he's pale?
I said it.
Well, you did. What has Jay Cutler ever won? Diddly poo.
Nothing.
It's all on the strength of Devontae Freeman here. Moving on. LSU versus Louisville. Zach Mettenberger, Jeremy Hill, Odell Beckham Jr.
Ooh, those last two are strong.
The last two are pretty strong. It's rookies last year, which all of them were rookies last year. Why the hell did LSU win the national title?
I asked that when we were talking about Zach Mettenberger getting ready for the draft. I was like, why does everyone love this Mettenberger cat?
Oh, by the way, Jarvis Landry was a rookie last year as well.
Right.
I mean, talk about the skill positions.
All
that they
had. The talent around them.
But they take on Louisville. Teddy Bridgewater over Mettenberger, fine. But Bilal Powell does not hold up to Jeremy Hill. Devontae Parker, yet he's unproven.
I know
regardless.
We haven't seen him play. He's not going to have the kind of year Beckham did.
Not going to have, you wouldn't think. So we go with LSU there. USC taking on Oklahoma State as we close out the halfway point of this bracket. Carson Palmer, still Carson Palmer. Reggie Bush, love it for it to be Marquise Lee, but they go with Nelson Aguilar. Sight unseen, they're like, yeah, we saw Marquise. Let's go with the guy we haven't seen yet and put him in there. Brandon Weeden for Oklahoma State. Joseph Randall, maybe Dallas' starter. Averaged over 6 yards a carry last year.
Sure.
And Dez Bryant.
No, Dez is strong.
Dez is very strong. But
it's,
I think
it's the Cowboys versus USC.
The overall yeah, the overall strength of USC, I think, takes
Why
it
are they collecting right Oklahoma State players in Dallas?
All right, I'll do this. If you're listening along, we're going to take a quick time out here because we got Cecil Shorts, formerly of your Jacksonville Jaguars, coming up to tell us about an event he's got going on with the United Way here in Jacksonville this week. But later on, we'll get back to this. We'll look at the second half of the bracket. Your number one seed so far have been the Cal Bears with Aaron Rodgers, Marshawn Lynch, DeSean Jackson, and Tennessee with Peyton Manning, Arian Foster, and Jason Witten. Think who the other schools would be. Text us. And don't look, don't cheat, but text us who you think the other schools would be that represent in the bracket challenge as number one seeds. Which two other schools out there would have the best remaining trio of players? As we said, Miami not represented at all in the 32. We've already heard Florida as an 8 seed. Florida State is a 5 seed, so it's not them. And you know Tennessee and Cal are your first two number one seeds. So we'll get to that coming up a little bit later on. And I will say this, on one of the number one seeds, they absolutely cheated. All right, but nevertheless, it makes for an interesting discussion, and we'll get back to the second half of that a little bit later on the show. Cecil Shorts, former Jaguar, coming up next. Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday for all size plumbing jobs, in-home, commercial, industrial plumbing, septic systems, restaurant, grease trap service, you name it. If it has to do with plumbing, if you've got issues, you won't have them if you call Metro Rooter. Same day service, weekends included, with the right people and the right equipment, serving Jacksonville and beyond since 1978. Visit MetroRooter.com. Call 695-1911, 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Back with more with Fat Tony here live at EverBank. Cecil Shorts joins us next on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Shotgun now for Blake Bortles. Can he push it down the field on second down? Straight drop, fires that little slant again. Caught by Cecil Shorts. Out past the 20-yard line. Cecil still on his feet. Cecil up the right sideline. Cecil up the right sideline into Dallas territory. All the way down inside the 40-yard line. Cecil Shorts got it down to the 35-yard line. Huge play on a slant by Cecil Shorts.
Ah, Cecil Shorts. One of the few bright spots, wouldn't you agree, in the Jaguar receiving corps in the last 4 years.
Yeah, I already miss Cecil, man. He was one of the best in the locker room. I always enjoy talking to him.
If this were a typical day, if Cecil Shorts were still in Jacksonville, even he might not be in the building today.
Right.
Because it is really shut down today. But if it were any other week other than this week, we would frequently see Cecil walking by the studio, giving us a big smile on his way to work out yet again. And he joins us now as a member of the hated Houston Texans, coming on Jaguars Today for the first time as a member of the enemy. Cecil, how are you, man? How are things?
I'm great. How about you guys?
You know we love you, man, but you are a member of the enemy now. Does it just feel wrong? Does it just feel wrong to say that? Houston Texan wide receiver Cecil Shorts, how does that feel to you?
It's a little different.
I'm trying to get you in trouble with your new teammates is what I'm doing here.
You are trying to get me in trouble.
Now, in all seriousness, man, I mean, are you happy? Do you feel like it's a good situation for you now? We certainly loved you. We know you gave everything you had. We know you had some issues with injuries over the time. But,
right.
You know, other than the fact that, you know, the Jags want to beat Houston in the AFC South, I don't think anybody begrudges you having a successful career. Do you feel like you found a good spot for yourself?
Yeah, I feel like I fit well in their offense. It's definitely an offense that, you know, I could see myself moving around a lot and playing a lot of different positions. And they have a good scheme there, and it's a good coaching staff and good players there. So I'm happy to be somewhere that I can fit well and help the team win.
Cecil, you know, it was your first opportunity to test kind of those free agent waters. Just talk about that experience a little bit as a guy who, you know, you're drafted by Jacksonville. You're trying to find a way to fit in with what's going on with this culture in Jacksonville as it's changing a couple times even during your time here. And then free agency is right there on the horizon. What was that experience like?
It was interesting. You know what I mean? You hear a lot of stuff. Before free agency actually starts, you hear a lot of stuff in the offseason about what's going to happen, who's interested, who's not, and then things like kind of totally switch up as soon as free agency starts. So it was definitely an interesting process, but I'm happy where I ended up.
Yeah, for you, man, you were put in an interesting role, I thought, last year. Not only were you expected to produce on the field, but I think maybe be somewhat of a mentor to these young guys. Was that ever a challenge for you? Because you're a young guy yourself. I mean, you've only been in the league for a few years. What was that like having such a young group in that meeting room last year?
It was fun because the guys were hungry and looking for success. You know what I mean? I think they did a good job of drafting guys that fit that culture and, you know, and Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee. And then you bring in guys like Alan Hearns that knew the offense last year under Jeff Fish. And I think he showed some flashes of, you know, some good things last year. So them guys were easy to kind of lead. They were all hungry. Success, and I think this year you'll really see them guys, including Nate Sanders and others, really step up and really play well.
I know one of the guys that is expected to emerge this year across the entire league, his name gets brought up a lot, is DeAndre Hopkins. You're getting a chance to play next to him every day. What does he look like out there in OTAs?
Well, he didn't play in OTAs. He had a minor wrist surgery that kind of kept him out of the training camp, but I was watching film on him, playing against him the last couple of years. He's an outstanding talent. He has his hands. He makes some incredible plays out there, so I'm excited to be by his side.
All right, Cecil Shorts here with us. By the way, you can vote for Cecil if you would like today. As our question of the day out there on Twitter is, which Jaguar went on to play for another team? Were you saddest to see leave? And I'm sure you got a lot of fans here that didn't want to see you leave the city of Jacksonville Cease. But, you know, as I said, we wish you success. Not too much when you're going head-to-head with this team, certainly. but I'm sure you understand that as well, man. But what I think is cool, that something that you're doing – that we find a lot of Jaguars have done in the past, even guys that have left the city of Jacksonville, they've kept some roots here, and you're working with United Way of Northeast Florida with one of your latest backpack challenges. Why is it important to you to continue to work and do something to benefit kids in this area?
Well, this is our home. Me and my wife decided we want to stay here no matter what happens with my career. We've been here for 4 years now, and we've grown to love the place. And, you know, one of our things was always to give back to the community wherever we are. And we want to give back. Me and my wife are both from Cleveland, so we want to give back to Cleveland as well as Jacksonville. And it's just huge to try to impact the youth, impact the families that, you know, need a little help. And, you know, that's just big on us. A big for us.
There are a lot of kids out there, it seems, according to, you know, some information I'm reading from the United Way, that they just need somebody to fill in the gap. There's just some basic essentials that if you provide these kids with them, you can really kind of help provide a safety net for them in a lot of ways. If they have the tools to learn, there are kids out there that are eager to learn that if they don't have them, maybe they're going to fall through the cracks a little bit. So tell us a little bit how people can get involved with this United Way Backpack Challenge.
Well, last year was our first backpack challenge. It basically created school supplies and book bags to give the children and families that, you know, can't really afford them. So last year we raised a whole, man, I want to say over 20,000 supplies or close to it for different schools. And I think we got a, we covered 5 schools last year. And that was the first year we did it. So this year we're trying to start a little earlier. And June 2nd, this Thursday, at Mellow Mushroom, we're having like a little meet and greet with me and my wife. And you can bring in school supplies and just help get fans going along a little quicker.
And where can fans, if they want to participate in this, where can they go to help out this charity?
Well, any United Way they can go to and have and they can drop off school supplies. Like I said, we're having a thing at Mellow Mushroom tomorrow. And then June 16th, we're having a meet and greet at Latitude 30 as well. And then you can just bring school supplies. And if you bring school supplies that are worth more than $10 tomorrow at Mellow Mushroom, you will get a free appetizer. And then for July 16th, I keep saying June. It's July 1st today. So July 16th, if you bring anything over $10 at Latitude 30, you will receive a $5 game card. So we're trying to get things going a little earlier this year, try to raise more school supplies and book bags to get back to the children in the city of Jacksonville.
What's the location of the Mellow Mushroom where you guys are going to be tomorrow?
The one on Avondale, I believe.
All right, Avondale. All right. Well,
Riverside location, yes.
Folks can go to United Way, NEFL. That's not a typo. It's Northeast Florida. It's not National Football League. It's UnitedWayNEFL.org, and they can find out how to help. I mean, basically, we're talking about some of the basics here. We're talking about, obviously, backpacks, but everything from pencils, pens, crayons,
absolutely,
markers. You name. I mean, anything you could think of sending a kid off to school with, right?
Paper, whatever the case may be. Anything that, you know, that is considered school supplies.
All right, Cecil, before we let you go, you are a Cleveland guy. Are you over the NBA Finals yet?
No, I'm not. No. I'm still hurting a little bit. But I am happy. You know, we kind of went from worst to first in 1 year. So, free agency starts today. Now,
it does.
It
started at midnight. Yeah.
So, today is a big day for Cleveland. We need to sign some guys back and, you know, maybe LeBron can do some more recruiting or whatever the case may be, but
he's not recruiting Kevin Love. See, they say he's not going to recruit Kevin Love. You want him back? You want Kevin Love back in Cleveland? Yeah, I'm taking that as a no. That's a no. You can't hem and haul like that.
You know what? I want all our guys to come back and just try to get it again. I think, you know, LeBron, when he went to Miami, his second year, they really gelled together and played well all year and ended up winning it. So I think we all come back again this year. I think we can take it off.
You need Kyrie to get a hyperbaric chamber or something to get in there and not have anybody touch him for the next 6 months, man. If you had a healthy Kyrie, you're probably the champs, don't you think?
Yes. If we had a healthy Kyrie, I think we would have won it. Maybe 7 games or whatnot, but we'll see. We'll see what happens this year.
All right, my brother. Hey, listen, check out Cecil tomorrow and his beautiful bride over at the Mellow Mushroom in Avondale. Chanel will be with him, and you can get more details at UnitedWayNEFL.org to find out, to get the list of supplies. But again, clear mesh backpacks, pencils, pens, crayons, markers, glue sticks, scissors, highlighters, notebook paper, composition books, spiral notebooks, folders, you name it. If a kid needs it as a school supply, that's the kind of thing that we're looking for here. Cecil Shorts and family making their home here in Jacksonville, even though, Cecil, we're going to have to root for you or against you at least 2 times this year. We do
it's
appreciate the fact. Hey, look, we appreciate the fact that you love Jacksonville enough to make it your permanent home, and that you continue to give back, even though you're not a member of this organization right now. And appreciate everything you've done for this team here, and keep up the good work in the charitable endeavors as well.
No, thanks for having me on. I appreciate you guys. You guys are nothing but the best. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. There you go. Cecil Shorts, thanks so much, man. Have a happy 4th of July weekend as well to you and yours out there. So check out Cecil tomorrow, Mellow Mushroom over in Avondale. You can share this on Twitter and tweet at United Way NEFL. Let everyone know that what's needed to be done out there and help raise a nice fund of supplies. They did over $20,000 worth of supplies last year. I mean, stuff that if you're able to afford it, you don't even think about that kind of stuff. You make a trip to the store, you load up on stuff. There are a lot of families that are not in that position to be able to do that. So Cecil Short's one of the many NFL players and former NFL players trying to help kids out and doing it with the United Way of Northeast Florida. And we appreciate that. So we wanted to have Cecil on and give him a hard time about the team he chose to play for, as well as congratulate him on his charitable endeavor. So there you go. Former Jaguar wide receiver Cecil Shorts here with us on Jaguars Today. We'll continue on a Metro Rooter Wednesday in a moment with this date in football history and the drive around the NFL. Also coming up, the second half of the triplets bracket. I don't think Mount Union made the triplets bracket, Tony.
Probably not.
Got a couple of good wide receivers, though.
If Gene had stuck around a couple more years, maybe.
Oh, you kidding me? Whoever was throwing the ball to Cecil and Pierre Garçon should have been drafted here. There's no question about that. We had a spot for him, at least on the practice squad. But we'll get to that coming up as well. Your calls and texts on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Welcome at 641-1010 as well. He's Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
Okay, then. This date in football history brought to you all week long by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. July 1st, the date. Looking back historically, we'll start with some birthdays. Tony, if I were to ask you, which guy are you guaranteed to see wearing a yellow sport coat at a Super Bowl radio role more than any other player, who would it be?
It's the Raiders. Michael Haynes?
Mike Haynes, very good. He is the most likely guy. I don't think I've ever seen Mike Haynes not wearing his Hall of Fame jacket, which he got from being inducted in 1997. Mike Haynes, born on this date in 1953, nine-time Pro Bowler and two-time first-team All-Pro and a very deserving member of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, waited a long time.
He did wait a long time, but boy, could he play both for New England and the Raiders. 1979, hey, Adrian Peterson. Oh, not that one. The other one, Mike Pete's brother. Remember that whole thing? He was Mike Pete's brother.
Yeah.
Born in Gainesville, went to Santa Fe High School there. He had 1,283 rushing yards in his career.
I remember guys getting duped in fantasy
Oh,
leagues.
My goodness. Make sure you draft the right Adrian Peterson. Oh, what is Adrian Peterson doing on the waiver wire? Well, check what team he's playing
for. And the darn guy had to be a running back, too.
Yeah, I know, right? What are the odds? But he had 1,283 rushing yards in his career. The other Adrian Peterson, the Vikings' Adrian Peterson, has outperformed that five times in a season, and if you gave him 30 more yards one year, he would have done it six times. Mm. So not exactly a prolific total, but nonetheless, better career than I had. Major Wright, former Gator, and a five-year NFL vet now, most recently with the Tampa Bay Bucks, 27 years young today, born on this date in 1988. And on this date in 1989, the NFL owners voted unanimously to form the World League of American Football. NFL Europe, as it was later known, initially you had teams in three divisions, the North American West, which featured the Birmingham Fire, the Sacramento Surge, and the San Antonio Riders. So a team in Sacramento played in NFL Europe. How about that? For distance issues. The North American East featured the Montreal Machine, the New York New Jersey Knights, the Orlando Thunder, and the Raleigh Durham Skyhawks, later replaced by the Ohio Glory in 1992. And then, of course, the Barcelona Dragons, Frankfurt Galaxy, and London Monarchs in the European Division. That is this date in football history. It's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Have roofing needs in home or for your business, repairs, re-roofs. Call today for a free estimate at 287-7756, 287-7756, license number CCC056797 for First Coast Roofing, our sponsor of this date in football history.
Now drive around the NFL.
The free agent cornerback C.J. Spillman has been charged with sexual assault. Spillman was indicted by a grand jury on Monday, stemming from an incident in the Dallas Cowboys team hotel last September. Spillman played in all 16 games for the Dallas Cowboys last year, who said they were going to wait until the legal system made a decision on what they were going to do with Spillman before the team would. He is now a free agent, so no team is left making that decision as he now faces this sexual assault charge. Troy Vincent firing a shot at the NFL Players Associate. My goodness.
Peter Brady, ladies and gentlemen.
The Players Association. The quote from Troy Vincent: look at the amount of money being spent on legal fees for a handful of people. It's millions and millions of dollars, and we've got players that are hurting. We've got young men who don't know how to identify a good financial advisor. Men are in transition who aren't doing well, and yet $8 to $10 million a year is spent on court fees. Who should make a decision on someone who, in some cases, has committed a crime? Think about that logically. Wouldn't it be better to spend our time and resources on the issues that are vital to our players, past, present, and future, such as the players' total wellness and growing the game together? Again, that's the comment of Troy Vincent talking about the NFLPA, who was almost the president of the NFLPA.
When you look at the definition of the phrase or term self-serving
right.
in the dictionary, it now has Troy Vincent's picture.
And it should, considering they're spending those millions of dollars directly because the NFL is pursuing legal action against these guys.
As many have pointed out, they've had success with yes. higher courts overturning NFL decisions, and their feeling is, look, yeah, do we want to spend these dollars? No, we don't want to spend these dollars. But that doesn't mean if we didn't spend it on this, that'd be $10 million more
sure.
in Johnny Veteran's pocket who played in the 1960s.
Bit it doesn't of work sour that way. Grapes. And in a non-football note, Demps, it is July 1st.
Just call me Demps.
I did.
I used to be called that a lot. I've never heard you call me that.
It is July 1st. And that means it's Bobby Bonilla Day. The New York Mets will send Bobby Bonilla a $1.2 million check.
God bless him.
Every July 1st until 2035.
Man, what was I just watching? It was a USFL giveaway, okay, where somebody won $1 million. I think it was $1 million, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it was an annuity, and they wouldn't start collecting it for 20 years, and then they'd get $50,000 a year for 20 years, starting 20 years into the future.
Right.
Still a pretty damn good deal.
That's a great deal.
That's a pretty nice retirement fund to have in the back of your mind. I don't know how that worked out. you may have heard, Tony, the Mets are still in business.
Right.
They continue to pay Bobby Bonilla on this deferred payment plan, the USFL no longer in business. Although, I seem to recall, I mean, Steve Young had one of those contracts, didn't he, with the USFL's LA Express? It was like a $40 million contract. And it's so funny because, I watched the 30 for 30 on Steve Young. And he said he played so bad, they showed a highlight of him with the LA Express, where he steps to throw the ball. And the ball's soaking wet. They're playing in some kind of monsoon. And the ball just falls out of his hands and rolls straight down his back. Imagine you're cocking the ball back, and it just comes out of your hand and just goes rolling down your back.
Right.
They ruled it an incomplete pass, but that's beside the point. Fans in the stands, Steve Young said, were chanting, you know, $40 million, you suck, blah, blah, blah. He says his mom is up there yelling back, it's an annuity. Like, she was trying to explain, it's not really 40. He wasn't getting
right.
40 million. Whatever, man. I remember when he got that contract. I mean, every time we always say this, right? Oh my, I can't believe this. Biggest. No one's ever going to make more than this. I mean, I know A-Rod's number held up for a good long time, right? I mean, 25 million seems to be a pretty high watermark that's held for quite a while. But I remember when Dave Winfield was the first $1 million position player.
Mm-hmm.
Nolan Ryan was the first $1 million pitcher, I want to say, for Houston back in the early 80s. And when Steve Young got that deal with the LA Express, you're like, $40 million. Was he going to buy a franchise now? I mean, what was he going to do?
Right.
He's one of the richest men in the world, Tony, at $40 million. Absolutely unbelievable. So text your submissions, if you'd like, by the way, for the school bracket challenge at NFL.com is doing. That they've already created the bracket, but we've gone through half of it. They're looking for the best combination of quarterback, running back, pass catcher from one university or college that is currently playing in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave you a couple of number one seeds. One was the Cal Bears with Aaron Rodgers, Marshawn Lynch, DeSean Jackson. One was Tennessee with Peyton Manning, Arian Foster, and Jason Witten. Both very deserving, I think. On Twitter, Chase was able to guess one of the other ones. Chase at C-Squared1709 said, how about Georgia with Stafford, Gurley, and A.J. Green? And, again, they have a lot of rookies mentioned in there, and they're
sure.
projecting ahead. And that is absolutely correct. And, you know, if Stafford could get back to where he was a couple of seasons ago, you'd have a contender there if Gurley turns out to be what he's expected to be, despite his inclusion on Pete Prisco's most overrated list, A.J. Green is one of the best receivers in the National Football League, in my belief. So they are. Georgia is one of the other number one seeds. A couple of other people guessed that as well. A couple of texters did on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Somebody guessed Alabama, and they guessed the players right. Alabama is seeded, although they're not a number one seed, because they're held back by A.J. McCarron being the quarterback. But you have McCarron, Eddie Lacy, Julio Jones. Eddie Lacy being the most proven, I guess, of the Alabama running backs. Although Mark Ingram's starting to really come into his own. We hope T.J. Yeldon does very well. Nobody's really holding out hope for Trent Richardson
right
at this point in time.
Right.
And then you had Michigan being nominated in there. And this texter said Tom Brady, Denard Robinson, and Mario Manningham. Well, you got two out of the three correct. Manningham wasn't the pick. They went with rookie Devin Funchess with Carolina, who is expected to start for the Carolina Panthers. But Denard did get the run as the Michigan running back in that. Again, Miami not included in this, and I guess on the basis of they don't have a quarterback who's played in the NFL, but I mean, these rookies certainly haven't played in the NFL.
Right.
You expect them to, but you could have easily gone with Stephen Morris, Frank Gore, and then either Jimmy Graham or Andre Johnson, as we pointed out. That probably would have been a better selection than some of the teams that are in here already.
Yeah, I think so. I know you wanted me to guess the two remaining number ones.
Georgia's one of them.
Georgia would have been one of my guesses. I had it down to Georgia, and I was going to go Oklahoma.
It is not Oklahoma. Where did it? I just had it right in front of me. Here it is. Not Oklahoma. I told you, this is a team that cheated on it.
Well, so they put, like, what? How? It's not like
it'll be evident when I tell you who it is here in
like
a minute.
It's like not like a running back or?
Well, sort of.
Okay.
Sort of. Okay. And I'll tell you, we'll hold that till after the break. We'll come back and we'll go through the remainder of the bracket as far as that goes, Tony. Best news I've seen today, as I just checked weather.com, and I'm clear sailing down in Palm Coast this afternoon, sticking a peg in the ground.
Right.
By the way, tell people all the time about playing out at the World Golf Village, and what people tell me is, oh, man, I can't afford to play out there. I can't. Oh, let me tell you what. Northeast Florida residence rate, they have deals going all the time, including right now through the weekend. You can play Slammer and the Squire for $69 as a Northeast Florida resident. If you do, they're going to give you a voucher for up to four players to return for only $49. To play that quality of course at that price, you just don't get the opportunity to do that very often. You can also play out there on Sunday, the Independence Open, Sunday, July 5th. It's an 8:30 shotgun, two-person best ball event. It's general public, $75 plus tax. Active and retired military, police, and firefighters, knock $10 off that entry fee. And you get 18 holes of championship golf. You get lunch, prizes, all that. You can register online for that at golfwgv.com or call 940-6088 to book your tee time today. So take advantage of some great pricing this weekend out at the Slammer and Squire through Independence Day and really through the month of July. Check that out, and maybe I'll see you out there on the course myself in the next few days. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. As we continue on, Jaguars today, we'll come back and look at the second half of the 32-team bracket with the best triplet combinations in the National Football League from one university or college. It's coming up on a Wednesday live from Everbank, maybe the only two people alive in Everbank right now on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today continues on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, one of the few souls, two of the few souls inhabiting Everbank Field this morning.
Yeah.
Man, they had to turn off the electricity on us this morning. They had to test the fire alarm system. All that didn't make for a very good situation for show prep. So we said, the hell with it. Let's go see what NFL.com's writing about, or NFL.com's writing about today, and we'll just talk about that. But we will get into the second half of the bracket, 32 teams, best triplet combinations in the National Football League. Got a lot of good submissions on the text line, Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, and on Twitter as well, at MD underscore 1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, where you can also answer the question of the day, which is simply, of all the Jaguars who went on to play for another team, which one were you the saddest to see leave? I guess Boselli, even though I used a Boselli picture on Facebook, because I just love pictures of him in a Texan uniform.
Right.
I guess technically he doesn't fit because he didn't play for the Houston Texans.
Right.
He was a member of the organization. That was a great benefit to the Jacksonville Jaguars and cleaning up that salary cap situation back in the day. Tony continuing to pay dividends. And there you have it. We spoke with a current member of the Houston Texans this morning, former Jaguar Cecil Shorts. He's got the United Way Backpack Challenge going on. If you want more details on how you can participate in that, go to UnitedWayNEFL.com. 641-1010. Let's get on board with a couple of phone calls, and we'll rip through the rest of this bracket here. Let's see what Nick has to say. Good morning, Nick. You're on Jaguars Today. How are you?
Pretty good. Your triplet conversation got me thinking this morning, and since it is Bad Take Wednesday, what I wanted to throw out there was that the NFL benefits quite a bit from the development of these football players at the draft. I mean, it must be worth, you know, for players to go to matriculate through the state college system. It must be, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in training and development that go into these players. And I just wonder, does the NFL do anything for these schools, for the collegiate state college system in the way of, you know, reimbursing? And then my bad take is that maybe on draft day, what the NFL ought to start doing, this would be a good PR move for them, is whenever they draft, let's say they draft somebody out of Texas. What they do is for every first-round draft pick, they donate, say, $100,000 to that university in the form of a scholarship, and then maybe the kid that's benefiting from that scholarship is there the night they give away the night of the draft, and the player can shake hands with the kid, so on and so forth. Anyway, those are my bad takes for Wednesday. Thanks for taking my call.
They're not terrible takes. I think it's unrealistic to think the NFL is just going to start giving away money when they don't have to in that circumstance. And, you know, honestly, the schools that could use the money aren't the ones that are pumping out a bunch of first-round draft picks. You know right. what I mean? I mean, like, if Alabama puts four guys in the first round, and let's make a $400,000 donation to Alabama, that's a school that can afford it, right? I mean, that's a school that is making money off their football program, and it's carrying their other athletic programs. I understand what you're saying. Look, the NFL knows they have it good, Nick, and I think one of the small concessions that they make, Tony, is that they honor the – they have the rule, they honor the wishes of the NCAA by not allowing these guys to participate in OTAs and things like that until their graduating class or that class has finished their semester, right? You don't have to graduate. You can drop out of school.
Sure.
You can train for the draft. But if you had stayed in school, you cannot, other than I think there's an exception for like a rookie minicamp, you cannot participate in the NFL offseason program. Marquise Lee had this issue, I think, last year.
He did,
year, right?
Yeah.
A lot of guys, a lot of Pac-12 schools have later calendars. They get out later, and that impacts some of these guys. And the NFL, look, they don't have to go by that. They don't have to abide by that, right? Look, these guys are free and independent. They work for us now. It has nothing to do with college. But why rattle the cage of the free minor league system? That's what it is. It's a free minor league system.
Yeah.
NFL has it good, and it's worked well. And what do the colleges get? Well, I guess they get, you know, some of that, what they get is what John Calipari gets on NBA draft night. He goes there and he sits there and he basically walks all the Kentucky Wildcats up to the stage. And it's a great recruiting tool for the University of Kentucky. So you're there on NFL Network and you're there on ESPN as the draft is broadcast to the nation. And, you know, your school's being talked about, you know, four states had 29 guys drafted in the last 3 years, whatever the number is, you know, this, that, and that is some of what you get. Does it pay for all the money that they sunk into it? Is the basically the advertising that they get on a night like that worth all the money they sink into the players? I got to guess no. I don't think it's a dollar for dollar straight transaction there.
Yeah, but probably not.
The NFL has it good, Tony. We know that. Why would they buck the system that provides them free labor, basically?
No reason to, and they have the rule in place that you have to play at least 3 years, you know, 3 years from graduating from high school, too, which, look, has helped college football because there are guys that would try not to do that, right? There'd probably be a handful of guys that after their freshman or sophomore years, they're stars, they say, I'm gone. Instead, these schools do get the opportunity to have these kids on campus for 3 years as well, which is not the case with college basketball, which has become a yearly discussion about these guys only being there for 1 year, the one and done, and they're on to the next thing. Are they physically ready to play in the NFL? Probably not, but kids are stupid, and they're going to do whatever they want to do. And so if you're going to ask a 19-year-old, do you want to go try to make the millions of dollars this year? He's going to say, Yeah, I probably do. And I think there would at least be a percentage of them that would, and instead they're protecting them from that, too.
What are you, 31, 32? What are you now?
About to be 32.
About to be 32. July 1st, 2015.
Kids are stupid, man.
This date in football history, Tony became an old man. Officially became an old man on this date in football history. Kids are stupid. Can't stand them. All right, let's go to Terrence up next, 641-1010. Ring him in there, Tyler. There you go. Ding, ding, Terrence. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Mike. Hey, Fat Tom. Hey. What's Mike, up? I wanted to throw out a triple before I go to my miss player.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was thinking about Auburn with Cam Newton and Allen Robinson. It was the Trey Mason, the running back. What's it say?
Trey Mason is a running back from Auburn.
Trey Mason, Allen Robinson went to Penn State.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about the Jaguar
God, that's right. Why got Allen thinking going to
I don't know,
Auburn.
Terrence. I
Sammy
don't know.
Watkins this year, or whatever. Not Sammy.
Sammy Coates.
Sammy Coates. Yeah.
Actually, Auburn is a. Hold on, let me tell you. Auburn's a 3 seed in here, and they do have Cam Newton, Trey Mason, and Sammy Coates are the 3 guys. Sammy Coates is coming out in this year's draft. I believe went to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, who is the guy you missed the most when he left the Jags?
I messed up on that. Okay. I'm sorry about that.
You did. You did, Terrence.
Byron
Leftwich. Yeah. I guarantee you're the only guy
you
this morning.
Love you some Byron,
you do love
Terrence.
You some Byron, Terrence.
Mike, I was so hurt. You know I wanted to sue the Jags after that move? Do you know that? I mean.
What happened?
He wanted to sue
them.
You wanted to sue them.
Yes. I mean, for the mental anguish I went through after that, I mean, that's why, I mean, it's just, I was sitting there thinking, the fans of Peyton Manning, there's no possible way I could have been a fan of Peyton Manning or the Colts. There's, and I know what I went through with Byron. There's just, how hurt I was back then when that happened. So, I don't know, That'll always stay with me. So,
all right, Terrence.
Okay, then. All right, guys.
Good to hear from you. Happy Happy Independence Day weekend coming up, brother. There he goes, Terrence. He's really mellowed a lot. He's been Mr. Positivity until we brought up this subject, right? We used to have pitched battles, Terrence and myself. You somewhat on the I don't want to include you into my rage fests that I would have with Terrence. Unnecessarily, but Terrence and that Byron Leftwich love, that fascination. I mean, hey, Terrence, look around. Anybody else make him their starting quarterback
right
when he left here? Any clamoring for that guy who's still in his 20s to be somebody else's, some other franchise's bell cow? I didn't think so. Moving on. I don't believe the person who texted that in on Wisconsin, I don't believe they didn't cheat. Okay? Because they got it right, and I'll tell you what it is in a second, but I do not believe that they got that on their own accord, okay? 32-team bracket that NFL.com's doing. It's just for fun, where you take the best quarterback, running back, pass catcher from any university and which school has produced the best triplet combinations in the NFL. The number one seed so far have been the Cal Bears, led by Aaron Rodgers, Marshawn Lynch, DeSean Jackson. You had Tennessee with Peyton Manning, Arian Foster, and Jason Witten, both very strong contenders. Georgia Bulldogs, which were guessed correctly by several. Matthew Stafford, Todd Gurley, and A.J. Green were the number one seed in the next bracket, where they will take on it. You can vote for all these right now at NFL.com and see where it goes. I think they seeded it fairly well. The number eight seed is South Carolina. Any guess is what you got besides Alshon Jeffrey, which is the one easy one?
Jadeveon Clowney. No,
You peeked ahead at Wisconsin too, didn't you?
Well, you told me.
I know.
Where you said it's not a receiver, but
It's Connor Shaw and Mike Davis. I mean, it's a couple of guys. I mean, look, they may have long, fruitful NFL careers. You know, not everybody's going to be a superstar, but is all it takes to get you into the 32? You have to have one of each of these positions? Is that all it takes? Because, again,
I guess
I'll put Steven Morris in there for the U with Frank Gore and Jimmy Graham, or Frank Gore and Andre Johnson. That's a better trio than you got right here.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen Connor Shaw play because of a bad situation, not because you want to see him play.
Right.
So, yeah.
All right, Pitt. You got Pitt here. They've got two very good guys.
Fitzgerald and LeSean McCoy.
Yep, and you got Tom Savage as their quarterback. Again,
I mean,
so
why?
And Tom Savage, just because they spent a draft pick on him, Tom Savage counts, and
right.
and Stephen Morris doesn't. I mean, you know,
I don't get that.
They have about the same chance of making it to the Pro Bowl this year. Ole Miss, your boy Eli, Dexter McCluster. How about Mike Wallace from Ole Miss?
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad. That's your 4-5 matchup, Pitt versus Ole Miss. Auburn versus Arizona in a 3-6. We told you Cam Newton, Trey Mason, and Sammy Coates. Arizona's got Nick Foles. They've got Kadeem Carey, who has he had a carry? I mean, truly, he might have had 10 last year as a rookie in
Not
Chicago.
Much, yeah.
They don't share the ball much, which makes Matt Forte a sought-after fantasy commodity. And, of course, Gronk coming from Arizona as well. They're a 6 seed. I could see them beating Auburn out just on the popularity of Gronk. Oklahoma versus Texas, Sam Bradford, Adrian Peterson, Kenny Stills. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
It's a number 2 seed. And then Texas has Colt McCoy, Jamal Charles, and Marquise Goodwin. And they probably just wanted to set up Oklahoma versus Texas, let's be honest, right? I mean, in that matchup. So then the final one in the Rose Bowl region, Tony, we told you Wisconsin, I mean, they cheated because they threw J.J. Watt in there as the pass catcher. Yes, they
Whatever.
Say in the wake of Watt's 3-touchdown season as a goal on tight end, we're tossing him into the triplets mix. This exercise is meant to be fun after all. It's Wisconsin versus Notre Dame. It's Russell Wilson, Melvin Gordon, J.J. Watt versus Jimmy Clausen. Again, I'll give me Stephen Morris over that right now. I don't know if Stephen Morris will be any good. I know Jimmy Clausen's not.
Remember, yep. Stephen Morris is solid.
That's right, he's solid, according to Gus.
And by solid.
Damning by faint praise.
That's right, by solid, I mean he needs to get better.
As you guys know, he needs to do better. Jimmy Clausen, Theo Riddick, and Golden Tate. The note in here is interesting. 2007, according to go back to Rivals.com's rankings in 2007. Glad Brent Beard is rid of that albatross of an organization once I tell you what these rankings were. Jimmy Clausen was the number one recruit in the country.
Remember that.
J.J. Watt was a 2-star afterthought. Okay, hey, Rivals. Good
J.J.
job.
Worked out pretty well.
This is pretty good right here. I like this next one. Fresno State versus Central Florida. UCF, the Knights. Fresno State puts out Derek Carr, Ryan Matthews, off injured. And Devontae Adams, who had a nice rookie season with the Green Bay Packers, was Carr's go-to guy there, versus Blake Bortles of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Latavius Murray, who in a brief glimpse flashed star potential last year with the Oakland Raiders, and Brandon Marshall.
Ooh.
And they're the 5 seed.
Yeah.
And call me provincial, Tony. Call me a homer. Call me a Blake Bortles fanboy. How's UCF the lower seed there? I don't get that. Bortles versus Derek Carr. Now, they're gonna say, well, Derek Carr had a much better rookie season than Blake Bortles did. That's what they're gonna say. I'm gonna tell you Ryan Matthews is a walking emergency room.
Yeah.
And I would take Latavius Murray right now over Ryan Matthews. And Brandon Marshall, even playing with the Jets, it doesn't impact his skill set. Brandon Marshall at this point is still a much better player than Devontae Adams.
Well, you look at those 6 players that are listed, Brandon Marshall is head and shoulders above anybody else on the list.
And I think Latavius Murray might be next.
And yeah, he might be number 2, and I'm with you. I know a lot of people are going to look at the stats for Derek Carr. I get it. A lot of people looking at the stats and seeing what they do in the stat line between those 2 players. I don't know what Blake Bortles is going to turn into. I'm still not a Derek Carr believer. That's for darn sure.
Carr over Bortles by whatever margin, I think those other guys, Murray and Marshall, make up for it. Michigan versus Michigan State. Yeah, they didn't try to jury-rig any of this stuff. Tom Brady, Denard Robinson, another Jag. How many Jags have we had now? We've had Toby was in there for Stanford. We had Blake. And Denard Robinson. Is that it? And the current Jags? Probably so.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Marquise Lee didn't make USC's cut there. And Devin Funchess, the probably wide receiver, some think ultimately tight end for the Michigan Wolverines. They're a 3 seed. They take on Brian Hoyer, Cecil Shorts' new quarterback out there in Houston, at least one of the presumptive quarterbacks, so along with Ryan Mallett. Le'Veon Bell,
ooh,
very, very solid. And Deion Sims, he's a tight end for the Dolphins.
Yeah, so the pass catchers are kind of meh.
Right, I'd take Funchess over Sims. Le'Veon Bell is great. Tom Brady's great. I mean, I get it. Michigan's the 3 over the 6, whatever. And then finally, Alabama versus UNC, North Carolina.
What quarterbacks do those 2 teams have in the league?
Roll them down, you Tar Heel Warriors, as David Lamb would tell you. A.J. McCarron, Tony, is holding a clipboard very ably in Cincinnati right now. Okay, very ably.
If you say so.
I didn't notice that he dropped it once last year.
Right.
Okay. AJ McCarron's only been in the league for a year.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know.
Rode the bench.
Yeah. Is he practice squad or is he the backup?
He's the backup. He's the backup now, I think, in Cincinnati. And I guess that gives him enough reason to be rated over a guy like Stephen Morris, according to NFL.com. But to go along with Eddie Lacy and Julio Jones, there's no question I'd have that trio in there because Lacy and Jones are so strong that if they had a halfway decent quarterback, I mean, they're already a two seed. That's pretty good. And they take on TJ Yates, Giovanni Bernard, and Eric Ebron. How's UNC as high as a 7?
Like TJ Yates. 12
and a half. TJ Yates, Gio Bernard's nice.
He is.
And Ebron didn't do anything as a rookie. So, anyway, it's kind of fun to look at, see which team you think has the best. I think, ultimately, Aaron Rodgers versus Peyton Manning, those two, it's going to be Tennessee versus Cal.
You would think so.
If it makes sense all the way through. Georgia's strong, but I don't think they're strong enough to overtake Tennessee or Cal. Aaron Rodgers, Marshawn Lynch, DeSean Jackson. That's pretty solid. That's pretty spectacular, actually. Three big-time Pro Bowlers. And then, of course, you've got Peyton Manning, Arian Foster, and Jason Witten. 28 Pro Bowls combined between them. Not too shabby either. All right, question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, asking you, of all the Jags who left to play for another team, which one was the saddest for you to see go? We'll tell you what your feedback looked like, and we'll tell you who we missed the most over the course of the years here as well as we continue on Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday live at Everbank. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, down the stretch they come. Tomorrow, Ryan O'Halloran joins us. Tune in anyway.
Fresh from vacation, Ryan
O'Halloran. That's right. Where does he go on vacation, though?
He went to home. He went to
Dakotas.
Yeah.
See some fam.
Yep.
All right.
Went up to Fargo, he said.
Good job. Hope the car is in good shape. I assume he flew up there. Fargo's coming back in September, by the way. Season 2 of Fargo.
Oh, another season, huh?
Yes. I thought it was very, very well done the first time around.
Thinking about taking a vacation myself.
I'm ambivalent on season 2 of Tyrant right now.
Really?
Yeah, I watched it last night. It was second week.
I didn't watch season 1. I'm sure that's a surprise to you.
American Odyssey was awesome. Odell Ballard. Did you watch American Odyssey? Oh, American Odyssey was really, really good. I think it was NBC. It was Sunday nights. I'd always watch it on demand on like Mondays.
Yeah,
so.
I started catching up this week. I finally started watching Orange is the New Black. It's the first time I turned it on.
Almost through season 3.
Yeah.
And then it'll be over with for however long
until Netflix puts up another season.
Right, but that'll be, I mean, they just put out
it'll
season
be next
3
year, probably.
In the last 6 weeks or so, something
yep.
like that. I've watched, I think, 10 episodes. I want to say there's 13 episodes in the season. I don't know, to be quite honest with you, how many episodes are in there. There's a lot of TV out there that's good to watch, oh, brother. I like my episodic television. Big fan of that. Tony, also big fan of the question of the day. It's brought to you by the Tom Bush family of automobile dealerships here in Jacksonville, Florida. And today we asked you, we said, of all the Jaguars who went on to play for other teams, who are you saddest to see go? Tony, what did Twitter tell us?
Here's what we got from Black Dog. Sad to see Super Bowl MVP Keenan McCardell and Super Bowl winner Mark Brunell walk away. From Ocho Fisho, Tony Baselli had a pretty good idea. He was near the end of the line, but still, he was / is the Jaguars. From Bobby, Mark Brunell, we already had Garrard, and they draft Leftwich. # come on, man. # why.
Terrence is angry with you right
now. From Tealpocalypse, we got Fred Taylor, Daryl Smith, Rasheen Mathis, Keenan McCardell, Kevin Hardy, Double D. He doesn't let him go, apparently, any of them. From Demetrius, the biggest surprise entry that I saw today, Blaine Gabbert. You desperately want someone like that to work out, especially when you give up a second and pass on J.J. Watt.
All right, I see what he's saying.
Basically, I get your reasoning.
Letting him go was a signal of just how colossal a failure it was to select him in the top 10.
What I remember is the celebration and the
shock. Oh, we got Belanco, baby!
They
we
got a six-round pick.
Turned into Luke Belanco, elbow.
From T-Mock, Garrard, they did him dirty by releasing him like that, and we got you-know-who to replace him. # shaking my head. From Ryan, Marcus Stroud, so sad. From Teal Rising, Freddie Taylor, even though I knew he didn't have much left in the tank, close runner-up, Thunder. From Brock, we got Daryl Smith. From Matt, Mark Burnell, because Byron was not the answer. And from Isaiah, Will Blackman.
Yeah, and from, in terms of what a guy meant to a franchise, Fred Taylor meant a lot. Fred Taylor is an iconic player for this organization. You'd like to have had him not suit up for another team. You certainly understood it at that point in time. I thought the Jags went about it as respectfully as they could. Remember, Jack Del Rio and a contingent of personnel brass went down and met with Fred Taylor in person before they announced anything, and you know, kind of did a face-to-face, man-to-man sure. kind of thing. And look, I mean, that's the cold business of the NFL. You know, to me, the one that stung the most, is Keenan. I mean, the Jags still looking for their next 1,000-yard receiver, Tony, after Jimmy and Keenan. Keenan certainly had plenty left in the tank.
Yeah. Keenan, Fred, and Brunell are all kind of on that list to me. I get why they moved on from Brunell. You know, it was a new coaching staff, the front office was different. Tom Coughlin was gone. You got these new guys in. They're trying to find their own quarterback. Brunell had been here forever. So they draft Byron Leftwich, and they're ready to move on to the next guy. I get why Brunell went away when he did here in Jacksonville, but that is a guy who went on to have a couple more pretty productive years in the National Football League.
And had you rolled with him for another year and you drafted Terrell Suggs, maybe then you would have handed the torch to Ben Roethlisberger, was the feeling. And hindsight is obviously perfect, but who knows? Maybe with Mark Brunell, you would have won too many games to be in position to draft Ben Roethlisberger the next year.
Sure.
Right? You just don't know. Here's some of the names that got offered up on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, where we encourage you to like us. If you like us enough, we may become the next mascot of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Apparently, that's how people think they're going to become the next Jacksonville. Get enough likes on their Facebook page. I don't think it's going to work like that. Whispers have it that that decision may have already been made, but I'm not privy to the final details on that. I'm sure we'll all know something.
Nobody is, because nobody's here.
But doesn't it seem like there are a lot of, look, if there's anybody out there that I am, you know, tangentially connected to, it'd be Bold City Batman, who's a hell of a dude. He's a hell of a supporter of the team. I don't know if that guy has got the athletic ability, the stamina. Curtis is a hell of an athlete now. You know, it's one thing to roam the sidelines and make gestures and walk around and be able to withstand just the heat of being in that suit for 4 hours, you know, with pregame and all that.
Right.
It's another thing to bungee jump off of it, to hit golf shots off of it, to ride little mini motorcycles, little mini dirt bikes on it. You know, I mean, there's a lot that it may not be, you know, rocket science, but it may be rocket surgery. I'm not sure. It's not that easy. So here's some of the names that got offered up today on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, where we do encourage you to like us on Facebook. Bill McNeil went with Fred Taylor. Kristen Cosby Diaz. Tom Coughlin. I know he didn't play for another organization. Hey, you know what? You can name anybody you like. Timothy said Fred Taylor. Eric Blaine Gabbert. Ha, ha, ha. Just kidding. David Michael said Daryl Smith, since he's just as solid as he was here. Christopher Dos Santos went with Tony Boselli. Debbie Dukes went with Boselli and McCardell. But she was most upset over Coughlin. First time she started to realize, she said that Wayne Weaver would buckle under pressure from fans. Oh, what you're supposed to do. At a certain point, when the team's mired in mediocrity and the fans are you know, have the pitchforks at the ready, sometimes you do have to react.
Yep.
I thought it was appropriate at the time, and people look back and want to change history and say, oh, we should have kept Coughlin. Remember how bad it was? I mean, it was a poisoned atmosphere at the time. You had Rasheen Mathis. Corey said Rasheen Mathis. Another Fred Taylor. Another Brunell. Pot Roast said Josh Wiggins. Freddie T. Tony Boselli. This one, though, I thought was the most interesting one. From Derek Stewart, he said, actually, it was Vic. Vic Ketchman he's talking about. I learned so much about football from his experience. Ask Vic was a daily staple and a big part of me staying a Jag fan living in Iowa. So there you go. I'm sure Vic Ketchman would be happy to know that he was one of your jars on a shelf back in the day.
Sure.
Was Vic's favorite expression. Jars on a shelf. These young guys, jars on a shelf, Tony. You got to develop. It's a young man's game, Tony.
He's still working up there with Green Bay?
Last I heard, he was still up with the Green Bay Packers in that organization. And if so, I'm sure that's a hell of an organization to work for, man.
It is.
Look, the Jags right now are as from what we can tell, I don't work for every organization. I don't technically work for the Jags, but we work closely with them. That I can't imagine too many better organizations. But if you got a good one and you got the history of Lambeau Field and that organization, everything that goes into it, and you got arguably the best player in the game, heading up your quarterback position and you're a contender every year. It's got to be a lot of fun. I hope Vic's having a good time up there with the Green Bay Packers. So that's going to do it for us today. I hope Cecil Shorts has fun 14 times this season. Hope he doesn't win a whole lot of games out there in Houston, but and particularly the two that they play against the Jags. But it was nice of Cecil to join us. It's great of Cecil to remain a member of this community, he and his wife, Chanel, and it's equally great that they're continuing to give back through the United Way program. Go to United Way, NEFL for Northeast Florida, NEFL.com. Find out how you can participate in the Backpack Challenge. Cecil and Bride will be out at the Mellow Mushroom in Avondale tomorrow, mm-hmm. collecting supplies, basically, you know, anything you can think of that a kid would need for back to school. And you can come out, take a picture, get an autograph, what have you, and all that good stuff. So tomorrow we're back with Ryan O'Halloran. We'll also talk about the Miami Dolphins as week by week we're going to preview a couple teams on the Jags schedule in the order of appearance. So we'll do that, and then we're off Friday as we get an early start on the Independence Day weekend. So that does it for us today. XL Primetime coming up next for Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, and even for the vacationing Joe Fortunato. I'm Mike Dempsey. This is Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Glad you're with us once again on 1010XL 92.5 FM.